Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Radek.
And this is The Podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we read and want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day, working on our app, Nosby.
Or whatever else comes to mind.
Yeah, and today we want to discuss higher education and education in general,
I think. Yeah, education in general, schooling. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago that you started going into this rant on university.
Yeah.
I just had to stop you.
Yeah, so judging from what you said you had as notes and things that are coming up, you know, on my mind, this might be like a series of episodes instead of just one.
That's going to be more than one.
Yeah, so let's start with the basics. So the schooling system is like this, that you go to primary school, then you go to the secondary school, and then you go to college. Like, this is like the way that all the parents would like their children to go. And then you get a good job, and then you retire, and then whatever. So that's the paradigm. And in my case, it was like this. I went to primary school. I went to the secondary school with English. And already there, I was, you know, practicing English a lot. English was the language of instruction. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I wanted to go to college, but I was deciding whether to go to the technical university or the university. Mm-hmm. My parents and everybody in my family are engineers. So everybody was like pretty much sure that I would go to the technical university where I applied. But in the end, I chose the university and studied business instead of electronics, computer science, and things like that. I was pretty much into computer science, but it was but for me, it was more like a hobby than anything else. And I was afraid that my math skills and my technical skills won't be enough for the university, for technical university. So I went to the university to study business, which basically means lots of free time. Because the business business faculty is like really, very light. It's really.
I believe the name in Polish is something like marketing and management.
Yeah, the name is marketing and management. Yeah, but we would call it the faculty of happiness and playgrounds. Like we would call it something like that.
Yeah.
So so this was this was the other official name which we used. So lots of partying, which was good, but in the end, for me, the good thing about it was that I had time to develop my programming skills in the afternoons. So I was learning to code. And on the other hand, I was learning new languages. So I was studying Spanish. I already knew German. So I was studying Spanish. So I was studying languages and other things like that instead of just, you know, just focusing on the college career. But even there, I mean, I was pretty okay. And then after 2 years of this, I managed to convince my university to let me go to German university to study for a year. And I convinced the German university to accept me as a guest student. So I went to study in Germany because I spoke German already and I wanted to study abroad. Like, I wanted to study abroad from the very beginning, but I just couldn't get it in the first year. So I went to study in Germany. In Germany, I convinced them to become a full-time student there. And from there, they sent me to on an Erasmus exchange program for the fourth year. They sent me to Spain, where I studied for a year. So, and after that, I wrote my thesis in English. I defended it in Germany first, and then I defended it in Poland. And this is how I got my 2 degrees. So I have the German degree and the Polish degree.
I thought it was Spanish degree.
No. I was writing the thesis when I was in Spain under the supervision of a Spanish professor. But because I was an Erasmus exchange student and I was formerly a German student on the German university and Polish university. So I first did I had to defend the thesis in Germany. So I went back to Germany. It was actually a funny story because the thesis was in English. And the whole thing was, my presentation was in English, but the professors knew that I spoke German, so they asked me all the questions in German, which was really nice because, not nice, because I had to come up with, you know, language, I mean, you know, the words, like on the fly, you know, because I had all the, you know, every vocabulary I had in English, because my thesis was in English, and suddenly I had to come up with German vocabulary for things I was describing in English. So it was, I was a little bit sweaty. So it was, it was fine. I got it. And then in Poland, I also did the whole thing in English. Mm-hmm. They let me do it. And that's it. And then I finished my college. but I never finished learning because of the life. Life is learning. But yeah, that was my college life.
So you spent 5 years in university, two of which abroad, is that correct?
Yeah, 5 years, two of which were abroad. So the first 2 years in Poland, third year in Germany, fourth year in Spain, and fifth year in Poland, finishing things up and then going to Germany to defend and then going to Poland to defend. So
you were a pretty serious student.
Oh yeah. I really took advantage of the whole thing. So first of all, I traveled a lot. I learned languages. I partied a lot. So I really got the student life there. And because it was, again, marketing and management, I had even time to learn how to code and, you know, and develop like kind of business skills and work on my first apps, which failed. So I was really a full-time student with lots of cool ideas on the side. So yeah, I really took advantage of the time.
But then after that, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. You didn't continue taking the traditional path. You didn't go to work for the man.
Yeah, exactly. It was really disappointing for many people. I mean, people were just saying, Michael, now you speak so many languages. You have two faculty degrees, you know, in one foreign and one, you know, local. You have good CV, you know, you should apply to the big, you know, companies in Warsaw and stuff. And I was like, I wrote my thesis on teleworking. I mean, seriously, now after I wrote my thesis on teleworking, I'm supposed to go to a cubicle? You know, just not really. And then I set up my company. So in this sense, a very good question. I was disappointing many people because first, most of my family was disappointed I went the easy route to go to the university and study business instead of, you know, study proper technical degree. So it was the first thing that I did. Of course, when I started, you know, traveling to Germany and Spain, they were like, oh, so Michael is actually doing something with his life. So that was the first thing. And second thing was, yeah, that I didn't get a job. I set up my company. And for many people, it was, again, also in my family and in my, you know, close circle, was like, you know, this is not what I was supposed to be doing. But really, again, I wrote my thesis on teleworking. So after this, like...
Teleworking is the 2003 way of saying remote work.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, putting aside the things you're going to rant on, it seems like overall you're pretty happy with college, with going to university, that you had a really good experience.
I had really good time. This is true. I mean, I had the whole thing, the whole package. So really, as I said, I was studying quite a lot. I was learning new things, so new skills, and I was partying a lot. So, and traveling, and, you know, meeting new people. So I had the whole, you know, enchilada, the whole thing. And the good thing about being a student is that you're already an adult. So you're 18, 19, then 20, and even 21. You're an adult, but nobody treats you like one because you're a student.
Yeah.
Right? So in this sense, you can still do stupid stuff and like you're just a student. So like nobody really treats you seriously. So this has its perks,
true.
You know, you
can
really get away with lots of things. So that's why for me, the college time was really good. I mean, really, I met lots of people, you know, I traveled and things. And I, you know, learned stuff. And so for me, yeah, that's why when I was, you know, talking to you about it, which we'll come to in a second, I wanted to, you know, say you this part, that for me, the whole enchilada, the whole thing of being a student was just fun. And of course, when I had to go, you know, to Germany to be alone, you know, cater for myself and you know, not live with parents, because the whole my life I was living with my parents, so was a new thing for me. And then go to Spain, so, you know, 3,000 kilometers away from my parents even, so there was really no chance for me to visit them on a weekend or something. So this kind of experiences also, you know, helped me, you know, to shape my, you know, independence and, you know, things like that.
That's awesome, Michael. Though I sense that yours is probably a rather unusual experience of college, because
that's true.
You know, I'm 21. I have a lot of friends in college, and most of them are not as enthusiastic as you are, to say the least. And I did not go to university, right? So like my experience is very, very different from yours. I mean, I already, pretty much at the beginning of high school, there was like, I was pretty sure that I'm not going to to college. And I didn't. And in high school, I was already working. First, I was doing a bunch of like side projects, like a few like client projects, and then I started doing some stuff for Nosby.
Exactly.
And then after I finished high school, you tried to convince me to go to college, but you failed. and so I didn't. And I think I briefly mentioned this in the past, but to me it was, you know, I sensed that I really don't have anything to learn in there. Like, yeah, as far as like education instead of like learning is concerned, I'm really not going to get much out of college, because like I wasn't interested in studying something completely different. Like if I went to college, it would be computer science, but I've already been at that point coding for, you know, however many years, and I knew that in Polish universities, I'm just like, the things they'll teach you, like, it's either simple or outdated or not useful at all. And in this job, you have to be self-learner anyway. And most of what I would get is a lot of like higher math, which probably is not going to be very useful for me. And when it is, you know, I'm pretty sure I can learn it too. So that wasn't compelling to me. I knew that I wouldn't have much to learn there. I knew that I wouldn't enjoy it very much, probably, because I knew that even though university is somewhat different than high school, to much extent, it's still like the same kind of paradigm. And that to me like was very, very, very exhausting in high school because just of my personality. Like I can't take like getting assigned arbitrary tasks which make no sense. Like my tolerance for bullshit is very low, and so I don't think I could take it, and I knew I didn't need it. Like I also knew that in this in my field, no one really cares about your degree as long as you have skills. And I feel pretty confident about that.
Yeah, so just chip in here. Like, so you're right. My experience wasn't very normal. So I was really doing things my way. And I have also a friend to thank. I'm not sure if he's a listener to our podcast, but I'm going to ask him to listen to this one. Michał Jaskulski. He's a very good friend of mine, and he was also doing stuff on the side. He had already his company founded. And when we were both studying, we were both in the same group and doing the same faculty. And he would always remind me when I would just... Sometimes I would just fall back into this, you know, university kind of thinking, like the orthodox kind of thinking, and he would always shake me off. You know, he would always tell me, you know, Michael, just look at this. So I remember this one situation when one of our friends aced an accounting degree. There was accounting, you know, accounting class, and he aced it. He just got max points, and we barely passed it, both of us.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, Michael, because he's also Michael. So I was like, you know, Michael, look at this guy. He aced this thing. I mean, whoa! What did we do wrong? And he just looked at me and calmly said, "Nothing. In the future, we'll just hire this guy." so like really, yeah. I liked his attitude. So he was really, you know, helping me just think out of the box all the time. You know, he was just kind of challenging me as well. I was challenging myself, but he was challenging me as well, and it was really helpful. And then from my story, you can see that like I did none of the traditional things. I mean, like normally you don't leave your university, go abroad and then go again and, you know, things like that. So yeah. So in this way I was challenged, and I had good friends around. So it also helped.
Yeah. In high school, I was always more proud of the C's I got with 0% of the effort than the A's I got with 100% of the effort.
Exactly.
No, I mean, you know, if you did go to college and you really did it well, you know, playing it by your rules. But I just felt like, okay, so, you know, it's nice that, because you told me this story back then, like trying to convince me, And I was like, okay, like it's nice, like you get to travel and learn languages and do a bunch of stuff, do things on the side. But I was like, I can do those things, but I don't have to go to college to do them.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll just take the cool things.
Yeah.
And not care about the rest. Still right. though, like one aspect of college that I thought a lot, especially at the beginning, was, you know, just like in school, really, there's a social aspect to it as well. Like,
yeah.
you get to meet a lot of people, and if you study the same things, there's a good chance they're going to be like-minded people. And like, that, you know, in like kind of pop culture, you know, American pop culture, there's always this like strong meme of, you know, like you make like friendships for the rest of your life in college. Like, there, it's this like best years of your life. So for the last, you know, 3 years at this point almost, I had a like strong recurring like FOMO, you know, fear of missing out, that mm-hmm. you know, maybe it was the worst decision I made. But then like I'm talking with so many of my peers, and I don't see it. And like the longer it goes, the more I'm convinced that I did the right choice. I'm not saying everyone should do what I did, but like for me, that I did the right choice, because I'm like listening to their stories, I'm listening to the things they're learning, the things they're doing, and there's none of that, and I'm looking for something else. Like, maybe they're having, you know, great experience and you know, partying a lot and, you know, made so many awesome new friends, but I rarely see that too. It's like, there's no time for partying, you gotta study math. and you know, instead of like, oh, look how many awesome people I've met, it's more negative, like, you know, those are like all these assholes, you know, whatever. So I'm more and more convinced that even though you know, it worked out really well for you, that it's not necessarily a representative experience. And well, it's more likely than not that I wouldn't enjoy it, and I wouldn't get the same things out of it that you did.
That's true. So one of the aspects that still you have to look at, and we look at when we try to persuade companies and people to start, you know, using GTD apps like Nosby, or start using communicating through tasks and start not putting people in cubicles or open spaces and things like that. There is lots of traditional thinking still in the world. And
yeah.
One of the aspects of not going to the university is that you might be cut out, like in theory, you might be cut out from, for example, certain jobs, because the official requirement would be a university degree. And
yeah.
when you don't have it, like you're just not even, you cannot even apply. So that's one of the things that is still like has to be mentioned, that it's as a practical, you know, situation. Like in your case, because you're anyway a self-made man in this way, and in my company we don't care about that.
No.
I mean the official degree. So and more companies are like that, because what they care about are your skills. So it's not that big of a deal in this industry, but in many
yes.
industries, like still there is this official requirement that might just, you know, catch you out.
Yeah, I agree, and I even have a like personal connection to that. Like at one point, I mean, you know that I'm really into rocketry, and I'm building my own model rocket and stuff like
yeah.
that. And at one point, I mean, there was last year, I think I had this thought experiment, like
uh-huh.
what if I wanted to work at SpaceX or so, you know, like what if I get bored with programming and, you know, the software industry, I want to build real rockets instead.
I want to be a rocket scientist. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just not happening. And I mean, like first of all, I don't think I would enjoy it that much. Like the reality of it is
more boring than what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Because like in software, you have this like quick feedback loop. You can like experiment. You can like blow things up. Like in rocketry, like you really don't want to blow things up. Things take so much time, so much money. Like it takes so much rigorous engineering that I think I would get really bored by that. But like, say I really wanted it anyway. First of all, they're not just going to hire me. I would have to have a real degree, and a really hard degree. like, yeah, not you know, computer science from some random Polish university, but like a really, you know, hardcore,
prestigious degree for, like, and then PhD on top of that and things like that, right?
Yeah, well, maybe not PhD, but you get the point. Like, it's really hard. And then second of all, like, the second layer of bureaucracy is pretty much the only, like, interesting things in rocketry. Like, if you want to do, like, amazing, awesome stuff in rocketry, you probably really want to work at SpaceX, which is in the US. And the thing is that they can't hire you if you're not a US person.
No.
Because of the US laws. Because rockets are, you know, precision missile technology.
They literally can't?
Yeah, the law prohibits them from that. Like, there is a way to get, like, a special exception, but it's, like, they have, like, maybe 24 people like that. Like, you had to be, like, one of the best in the world. Otherwise, you have to become a U.S. person. You don't have to be a citizen. Green card is fine. But still, that means that I would have to first, to get to the path, I would probably have to get a job as a programmer, because that's what I can do now, in a US company, probably a corporation, because they can get me there easier. Be there
for, and they will do the visa and stuff.
Be there for 7 years. At this point, you know, probably work at a good corporation, making a lot of money, because I'll need a lot of money for a good American college, and, you know, both have probably a full-time job and study. So like that's not happening. So yeah, I know what you mean, but that's, you know, that's why I'm not, what I'm saying is not prescriptive. I'm just trying to explain, hopefully not just rationalize my decision, but just like your experience isn't normal, isn't usual. I also realize that mine isn't either.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like in your case, you know, you were like, you started programming very early and a lot, and then that's why we hired you so early, you know. We had all these jokes in the company, you know, that we hired some kid from somewhere, you know.
Yeah, I'll start feeling old the moment when we hire someone younger than me.
Exactly. So it's going to happen, but not yet.
Yeah. Soon.
Exactly. So that's the thing. That's why, you know, your example is different. And I think right now with tech jobs, so with programming, these kind of skills are really required. Like, almost everything becomes a computer now. So almost everywhere, things will be connected to the internet or have some drivers or have some, you know, and the software is touching almost every industry right now, if not every industry. So so programming jobs are very much required, and the degree, the computer science degree, gives you lots of good basics, like lots of high maths, as you mentioned before, and things like that, but it's not really up to date with what's happening, because everything is moving so fast. So, you know, coding, especially in programming, coding jobs, I think this is something that if you are good and if you want to learn and if you want to, you know, take the time, you can learn pretty fast without a college degree and really get a good job without a college degree, because just people need programmers. There are not that many programmers to be picky and say, I will not hire you because you don't have a degree. If you can do the job, I'm just gonna hire you right now because I really need right now.
Yeah, I feel like there's very few jobs in which you really need to, like, have formal education, which is, like, I don't know, doctors and lawyers maybe. And even then, like, the exact way that this formal teaching happens could probably be modernized, both in terms of, like, the way you learn, because just the fundamental structure of learning in universities and in schools to me is just very flawed. And also, like, using technology. Technology allows, you know, much more personalized, much more efficient learning, and universities have not yet caught up for the most part in taking advantage of that.
I remember, you know, my biggest shock when I moved to Germany, you know, I was a third year student when I moved to Germany, was that in my university, in Poland, there were three computers available for everyone to use, like three terminals, and you had to use a terminal yeah. thing. So I had to learn some Unix to be able to just use them.
Wow.
And they had some few like things, but not really lots of them. I moved to Germany and they gave me access code to the computer lab. I could use it anytime, 24/7. So whenever I wanted to use the computer lab, I would just go there, and it was just lots of computers there. So everybody like could use them. And you were expected to create, like when you had to deliver a paper or something like this, you were expected to deliver it as a form of a paper written in electronic document, or even better, use a PowerPoint presentation to just, you know, and present your point of view. So the shift of, you know, doing papers, you know, by hand and things like that, and, you know, using computers rarely, to suddenly you wouldn't pass if you wouldn't do a modern presentation and with lots of, you know, data from different places, like Excel and having a computer at your disposal. I mean, I had my laptop anyway, But I could use, you know, powerful computers in the computer lab, and, you know, printing and scanning and you know, CD burning things. So it was just, for me, amazing that, you know, suddenly like this university, and in every class there was a projector. So really, it was a different world. You know, suddenly it was just, whoa, I'm in the future or in the present.
but that's not enough. That's only using technology in ways that still like fits the paradigm, that fits the mentality that was already there, not using technology in ways that changes it. So like you'd still have your regular like lectures and exams, I suppose, right? And
yeah,
like it's really interesting to me how, I don't know, I've been playing a lot with stuff like, I don't know, like there's Khan Academy, there's Duolingo. Like there are really interesting ways in which you can use spaced repetition learning, what I mentioned a number of episodes ago. We'll put the link in the show notes about like the way I was studying English words, mm-hmm. right? Like it's not a complete shift in the focus of like where and how you learn. You can like learn from like prepackaged material on your own pace, and then like you use technology to check what you know and for the technology to then guide you with what's next, right? So like if you just have a textbook and a lecture that like the lecture is going at its own pace, like that's pretty terrible, because like everyone has their own needs.
And the problem is that, you know, in the universities, I studied in three different universities, so I have a kind of picture of how this plays out. And it's not about just universities or the countries that where they were, but the professors. Like the level of the professors is like it just goes like on like the whole map. Like really, you have very often, unfortunately, you have a situation where when somebody graduates, cannot find a job on the market and stays at the university, you know, and then lectures, you know, mm-hmm. So like you're getting lectures from person who couldn't get a job, right? And then now he's teaching you stuff, right? I mean, seriously, what does he have to teach if he wasn't there out there, you know, fighting for this and applying this in the real world? So this is one of the problems. I had some professors who were, especially in Germany, who were, for example, people who are very successful in their fields. Like one of them, for example, was a very successful banker. He was like working at different banks for 30 years, and as a pinnacle of his career, he decided, I'm going to be a professor now. I'm going to teach what I know about banking. So like this is perfect. You have a guy who's been through everything, you know, as in banking. So he knows about finance. I mean, if he doesn't know about finance, I mean, who knows then, right?
Yeah.
So it was for me an amazing experience, like to see this, you know, to have this guy teaching me finance, you know? and then another thing is that sometimes you have professors who are trying to do unorthodox things to teach you stuff. So for example, this very professor was teaching us how stock market works, and we were actually playing on the real stock market with fake money, you know? And so it was lots of fun, but then we realized how this works, you know, what are the, you know, what's impacting this talk and things like that. So it was really cool. And then I had professors, for example, so as you said, who had, you know, one book which they wrote and you had basically learn this book by heart.
Yeah,
if you would just say something which was not in this book, you would fail. So, like, seriously, you know, I remember this exam when I was asked a question, I answered it, and he said, wrong, it's not wrong. And I was like, really wrong? Or it's just not in your book? Because if you think about it, do you really think that what I just said is wrong? Well, it's not that wrong, but it's not in my book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. So it's they just go all over the place.
See, I could not live like that. I could not tolerate. Like, it's just like I would explode in this moment.
Well, I almost did. I almost did. No, I wanted to punch the guy.
Well, I'm glad you didn't in the end.
Yeah.
And in Poland, at least, that very rarely happens because the incentives are just not there. I mean, working as a college professor is not a particularly interesting or a awesome job. Like, so it's like most of professors are what you said. Like, they, you know, it just so happened that they're a professor, they wrote their own book and that's what it is, or they're teaching because they couldn't, you know, they're not actually good enough to do their real work. And there's a rare breed of people who teach because they're, you know, they are in a field but they are genuinely into teaching. And then it's extremely rare to find someone who's actually really good at what they do, but they decided to teach. I feel like in the US, there's more professors which are like top of their field, but that's probably only on like the top colleges anyway. And the US has its own problems because higher education is ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, so exactly. So the U.S. Higher education is very expensive. Whereas, for example, in Poland and in Germany, I was studying for free.
Yeah.
So and in Spain as well. Well, now you have to pay something. But when I was studying, it was all free. So it was good. No, the thing is, for example, that U.S. universities, as far as I know, are more market oriented because they charge lots of money, but they also invest in them, you know, like in the market, you know, related stuff. So so this is one thing, and I see this changing a little bit right now because I have a few friends who are as professors or kind of professors in the universities right now in Poland. Even this is kind of changing, but the problem is that still the structure is so old. Like the way to become a professor, you have to just pay your dues so much that you have to be really passionate about teaching to stay there, you know. Even the best teachers I had in Polish university, like, were doing things against almost the system, to be able to teach the way they wanted to teach. And this was painful to see, you know, because I saw the guy, he had lots of passion and he was good. He was trying to do, like, to approach things differently. But then the system that, you know, with the old school, you know, professors like above him was just not, you know, enabling him this. And I don't see anything enabling what I said before, like what happened in Germany, that you would become top of your game in on the market and you would want to become a professor and they would make it easy for you to do it. No, they will tell you to, I don't know, pay your dues again. You know, they would just humiliate you basically to become a professor. And I don't think if you would do it. And I think this is how it's supposed to be. It's like with judges, you know, like, but this is a different story. It's like with judges. Judges should be the most experienced lawyers ever.
Yeah.
So that they should become judges, not a young judge just for out of school. Like, this is ridiculous. And it's the same thing with professors. They should be experienced people who right now want to pass what they've learned. This makes most sense, but it's not really happening that much.
Yeah, and I feel like universities should change, like, on a fundamental level to, like, create a whole different culture of what it means to be a university, what it means to be a college professor, right? Because, like, I mean, in the US, it's slightly different. And, like, if you're MIT and you also have lots of money to, to throw at, you know, great professors, you can get, like, the best people teaching. That's different. But, like, it's impossible to do that everywhere. So, like, if you can't necessarily attract the best people in fields to teach with lots of money, because, like, again, that's unfeasible. It should just become something that people want to do. That it's like that it's a decision of, you know, okay, I spent, you know, 20 years in this field, and you know, I will make less money being a professor, but you know, I can live on that. But like, look at how amazing it is to be a professor. Like, what an opportunity to teach young people, and what a great job. And like, right now, very few people will think that. Some like really passionate people will, but it's rare because it's just not appealing at all.
Yeah, I mean, this what I wanted to say is that you don't need to pay lots of money to have really good people teaching. But as you said, you know, if somebody was successful, they have all the money they need. If you give them a good salary, like a decent salary, they will be fine. They will, because they have all these savings and everything from their, you know, big, you know, high profile career which they had before. But don't put, you know, don't put obstacles in their way to become professor, to teach, you know, help them convert to a professor and to convert to a good professor and give them the skills to really, you know, pass the knowledge that you have onto the, you know, younger generation. And this is how it's supposed to be, I think.
Yeah, this really reminds me of the whole, we discussed this before in terms of, in the context of Nosby, the story of David and Goliath and the asymmetric competition. Being from Poland, I don't see that happening anytime soon, but I wish it did, because if we can't compete with, you know, all the MITs of the world on money, we could compete by just, you know, outsmarting them and like creating a much better system that just, you know, that's a systemic problem. You create a better structure, a better system, and better results will arise. And like, wouldn't it be wonderful if people like in the wider world were like, oh, I wish, you know, universities in, you know, Spain or X were as good as in Poland, right? Because like this is in theory feasible in the sense that it's not just about money, but it's not happening.
It's about mindset. And like what we see happening, like, again, in our field, no office, like the companies still have a problem, like trusting their employees and, you know, treating them as adults and trusting they would do their work, even if they're not in the office, sitting on their chairs. So this is what I noticed also as a student. And you said my story is different because many students were not incentivized to think out of the box, to do different things. No, they were incentivized to go by the rule book, because only then you would just pass, you'll get your grades, everything would be fine. You will have your three months vacation then, and then you come back and you do everything as the professor says, you know. And then you have these professors which you know just you know learn my book by heart and you will be fine. So so this like. I saw many like the situation that I told you about with my friend. I saw very often, you know, people from my university, you know, spending so much time in the library, learning these, you know, things and not learning anything new, not trying to get out of their comfort zone, but learning to get the best grades out of just what they were, you know, given in the university, and then later they are applying for a job and they have no experience whatsoever in during the college of doing things outside of their spec. They just have, no, I just got a degree and I got, I don't know, very good grades. Nice, but what else did you do? You know? And then the employer is like, okay, so you're boring and you're not actually, you know, so you know, it's like, students are not incentivized to think outside of the box because they are incentivized to be like these cogs in the industry. We come back to the same structure that we see in the companies that we are trying to change with Nosby and with, you know, our no office ways. And the same thing happens in the university that you know, the incentive is not there to be different, to be, you know, apart from partying, which is also is always incentivized. Anything else is standard.
Yeah, I think the analogy to the way we try to do things differently at Nosby is a perfect one, because again, it's not about money. We don't have a VC. We have limited resources. But yeah, we managed to make a hopefully compelling product, and you know, there's obviously more in the works. and when you're talking about attracting professors, I mean, I'm keenly aware that I could you know, go find a job in Silicon Valley and make a lot more money than I can get here, Michael. But mm-hmm. it's just like, it will be very difficult for them, like outside of throwing money at me to make it compelling for me because of everything else other than the money. Like you pass a certain threshold for which I know I don't have to worry about money much, and everything else becomes more more important. Like the
lifestyle.
Yeah, the lifestyle, the ability to work from home, to work on interesting things, on a product that you genuinely care about, to you know, keep changing like hats and pick up different things, different skills, which, again, I'm a generalist, that works for me. Like, you know, how many companies offer that? And it's not hard to imagine universities or a university somewhere trying to be like that. And again, like with, you know, reasonable but limited resources, just making a difference and standing out.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, attracting these kind of, you know, cool professors who, you know, if you give them reasonable salary, so not really, you don't buy them, you just give them reasonable salary, but you give them different ways, you know, more autonomy, more, you know, you give them more playground to really, you know, teach people differently. You would attract them totally different. It's like the other day I was interviewed by a journalist about our TGIF policy, and he was attacking me like crazy, like, you know, this can't be true, you're just, you know, apparently he wanted to prove me that I'm just a stupid idiot who's just, you know, who has like a bunch of people who just don't want to work, and so instead of just, you know, pushing them to work more, I just decided to give up on these guys and just give them Friday free, you know. So it was so hard for me, you know, to convince him that, you know, it's a different paradigm, we're trying to build something different here, you know, and treat people a bit different, and we have a different, you know, perspective here, you know, listen to our past episodes, man, you know, of TGIF. So it was, yeah, it's always like you challenge, and I hope more universities would do that, would have, you know, deans who would be thinking out of the box and trying to challenge and to really think about the students. Because sometimes my impression was that the university would function perfectly if there were no students there.
Yeah.
Because the students get in the way all the time. You know, they get in the way. They are just, you know, they're a bunch of, you know, children that just cannot do stuff. So yeah. Like a university without students would be just so much more productive. But then again, what is the university for? And who is the university for? Right?
All right. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. I have so many more thoughts about this, like a really long rant in the making. One last thing I will mention, I guess homework, is there's this book by Seth Godin, Stop Stealing Dreams, that's very relevant to our discussion on education. It's a free PDF, so I'll just link to it. And we'll continue next week.